Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Just another day in paradise, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. The unicorns have been seen and Patrick Vieira is the new Palace manager. It's Monday, 5th of July. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Just another marvellous Monday, everybody. I should have stated which palace. It's the Crystal one.
Crystal Palace. Right. Oh, wow, yeah.
Yes.
Could have been Kensington, could have been Buckingham, mm-hmm. could have been any of them.
The Alhambra Sorrows. On Granada, if you will.
Do you reckon that's what he thought?
What?
He's what, not Crystal Palace?
Well, his agent said,
what, the club?
How would you like to manage a palace? Yeah. Oh, I'm listening.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it made of crystal? No, okay.
It was.
I thought they go to a palace every Saturday, every other Saturday. Yeah.
Sounds good. Nice.
Yeah. It's all right, yeah.
There we are.
Yeah. We'll talk about that in a bit.
Disrespectful
though.
To a historic club there for us, I think.
Do you think?
Make up for that in the second half.
No, I don't. Yeah. Oi, goals got the second half, eh?
All Palace fans listening,
yeah.
It's 0-0.
Yeah.
It's treat it like it's 0-0.
Yep.
After half time, we're going to really turn it around for you.
Yeah, with nine players.
Yeah, we're going to bring Grealish on.
Yeah, exactly. Is that what Vieira said? Can I have Grealish? No, you can't.
Yeah, it would be
you're
nice.
Not going to get it.
It would be nice. It's a down day, isn't it, at the Euros?
A down day?
It doesn't have to be down.
I'm an up day.
No, okay, it's an off day.
An off day.
Yeah, that wasn't good either.
A rest day.
It's a rest day.
We can take back Sevilla palaces, our respective footballing palaces,
and
go all is well in the England
camp. And get
camp.
The unicorns out for the lads.
Well, that's been seen. It's great. And
But Saka's taken it to another level.
He has, but because I'm a man of a certain level now.
Oh, here we go.
Of a certain age.
A certain level? Yeah. You've got a Pokemon.
Feel the blanks in there.
Are you worried to look at him in topless?
I just think to myself, because I'm so old now and I've been burnt so many times before, I have to be honest, instinctively and emotionally, when I saw that, I enjoyed it. And then straight away I thought, I don't want you having too much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
find the infantilization of players like him, players like Tarek Lamptey, a little bit distasteful. But then I saw he was on a unicorn. I was like, brilliant.
Brilliant, yeah.
I cannot say that as adorable.
But Marcus, I was going to say, before we get into the unicorn chat, it must be particularly discombobulating for a Donaldson.
Yeah.
Because everything's going well.
Yes.
There's nothing really that's gone wrong. They've not even conceded a goal.
No.
So for Pete, in these rest days where your mind starts thinking a bit too much, you must be getting yourself in the right old state. Hence, you've got your Newcastle shot.
Hashtag Newcastle takeover.
Yeah, yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. How are you feeling about England, Pete? Because we haven't heard from you since the game.
I just hope the return to Wembley doesn't disrupt the dynamic. I thought they played very well in the last match. That was the first match I thought, fuck, yeah. Yeah, good.
Right.
Like, they weren't great. Germany weren't great, but they looked like a team who could really put people to the sword. Brilliant.
Were you in the sports zone?
I was not in the sports zone, no. I was in a house in Surbiton.
Did they know you were there?
Yeah.
Just, the way you said that's like you picked one at random.
I'm like Hitman.
Like some sort of horrendous competition that no one wants to win.
Oh, dear. It's a nice area, Surbiton.
People were just walking. Who are you and what you're doing here? It should be a great game. Get yourself in here.
Have you heard of the Football Ramble?
Are you used to the Football Ramble?
Peter, Jordan Pickford.
Yes.
Jordan Henderson.
Right.
Have you ever seen a Geordie in Rome?
What's that? What is that about? It was like a Sunderland fan site, or I think it was a podcast actually.
He's given
the big lick, saying that you know, you never see a Geordie in Rome. So guys are literally fucking played there, you idiots.
Mate, from Gateshead. Yeah. Pick another one.
Can you claim Gateshead?
Yeah.
Because you've got to claim yourself because you're from Hartlepool. So.
Yeah, okay.
That's further away. Than Gateshead.
I saw a map today where it was like literally all of the northeast down to about Sheffield, Leeds, and then across Wales and Scotland. Everyone says north of that, and below it's yes. So I think that's how.
Oh, I thought there was some sort of referendum they were trying to, you know. Yeah. And it was 100%.
Aye, the ayes have it. Yeah. The ayes have it.
Fucking aye. So, but you're positive. So it really is the end of days.
Oh, it's the end of days. Yeah, yeah. We are due for hiding now.
I think so.
No, I'm on board. But it was so good to see a team that just were in no danger of conceding.
Well, absolutely.
And that is the crux of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not how many. If you literally don't let any he goes in, chances are you're probably going to win the thing, because that's literally how football works.
You're at least guaranteed penalties.
If you don't concede in the penalty shootout.
Oh, as well.
I was fuming with Brassel doing down the Ukraine yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah, I thought they were a noble foe. They were an illustrious enemy.
Seeded side, mate.
Yeah.
Do you know what's annoyed me, though, speaking of disrespect, is people keep saying, you know, England, two major semi-finals.
Wow, what about the Nations League?
What about the UEFA Nations League?
That
tournament has been well-crafted, put together.
I think, Marcus, over and above everyone else.
We won that bronze medal fair and square.
Some people would roll their eyes hearing that. But when you hear it from a Marcus Speller,
absolutely,
who has flown the flag for the Nations League more than any other human being I've ever met, you deserve it.
I do deserve it, and I wish you would tell UEFA that when they give out their corporate gigs.
Mr. Nations League.
So it's three semi-finals in a row. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Astonishing, though.
These boys
want to
go further, though. They want to go further.
Well, they do, and obviously the pressure, the expectation is now on England. For those who don't understand that, you know, England are at home and they're playing an inferior side.
Yes.
It's a game of football. Therefore, the inferior side can, of course, win. Mm. We understand how it works. But that's the fact of the matter.
Yeah. Wales had their chances.
Wales had the chances.
Oh, they certainly looked very good at the start. If you start the game like that.
I think there's been too much chat about this. I think Denmark firmly battered Wales.
Brassfield said yesterday it wasn't a 4-0 game, but no. Wales completely lost their head. So I mean,
well, I don't even write that. I mean, yeah.
But the point is,
but it's, I mean, I don't think. Go on, sorry.
Two different managers.
I was just going to say, perhaps a slightly more controversial point. Mm. You can look at how Denmark did in their game against Russia. Of course, they won well, and you can talk about how they did well against Wales. Right? For me, the most interesting part of this, from an England point of view, is how they played against Belgium. Now, they lost the game, but they put pressure on Belgium, and they were able to get quite a lot of joy. Mm-hmm. And what that says to me is, and I think, Marcus, you and I have disagreed on this in the past, but I think Belgium have probably got to where they deserve to get to. I think defensively, they found it very difficult for the reasons we've already talked about. Don't need to go into that again. But the point is, Denmark are able to put good teams, better teams than them, in the case of Belgium, under pressure and give them at least a bit of a fright or give them a game. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason I think that's relevant to England is because England haven't really played anyone, and I'd include Germany in this, who've put them under a huge amount of pressure.
I agree, yeah.
You've got
Scotland was probably...
Scotland is the closest thing. And that's, I think you can afford to kind of put that to one side and say that's a derby game, get through it, as Gareth Southgate said himself, back in the days... back in the days of yore, when everyone was criticising him, aka 2 weeks ago, that, you know, don't make sure you don't lose it if you can't win it, and move on to the next thing. Perfectly managed.
Yeah, but
great.
He's got to take the handbrake off, though, isn't he?
It's true. I don't know what he's fucking doing. But no, so that's why that's interesting. And I think also Denmark have got, I know there's plenty of time to preview the game properly between now and Wednesday, but Denmark have also got a very good spine of a team, which I always look to, which I think is always a danger, because you've got Schmeichel, Kjær, Højbjerg, Dolbo's coming done well, but Poulsen's been knocking on the door and played to a very high level as well. Mm-hmm. So there's a competition for places up front.
Barcelona's even. Braithwaite.
Braithwaite as well. Delaney's a good player. So there's a lot to think about. But ultimately, I think England need to show the progress now. I don't think it's too much to ask of them to say, okay, if it's three semi-finals in a row, is this the time where you start to push on to the next stage now? Yeah. And I think given the opposition they'll be playing, it will be very, very disappointing to say the least if they don't go through on Wednesday.
And they're not stumbling through. Last tournament, they stumbled through. They look good. Mm. Oh, man.
But that's what the Ukraine thing's so interesting, I think. Very difficult to assess the quality of Ukraine as opposition when Raheem Sterling pulls that amazing through ball out of nowhere. Kane's on the shoulder, but he's onside and he scores after a few minutes. Well, from Ukraine's point of view, that's obviously a disaster, but it's even more of a disaster when you're the profile team like Ukraine. They look dead on their feet. Was it Pat Nevin saying after the Sweden game, England will be looking forward to playing what's left of Ukraine?
Yeah.
Right?
The only side that concedes a lot, actually.
Exactly. And the only chance they probably would have had against a team like England would have been, can we get to half-time at 0-0? Exactly. And can we see what happens?
Let's keep them going.
It's gone now. And that's it's gone.
And that's the thing with what England have to do is that they got the breaks against Ukraine. You're scoring early. Settles everybody down.
In both halves as well.
Exactly. No, but you're absolutely right.
Absolutely that, kills the rest of the half.
Totally.
The
second one went in, and if that wasn't the killer blow, well, then the third one was a few minutes later. I mean, it was perfect.
What we're saying is England's got lots of goals, and that's why they won.
Well, for a change. But, but that's, you know, against Denmark, what happens if you go a goal down? Or as you say, 60, 70 minutes gone, it's 0-0. But then you go back to the Germany game. Just let's stay as in control as you can, and just keep going through the motion and just keep doing it, because England look a bit fresher than we've seen. That was one of Southgate's big points, wasn't it? You know, and how knackered they were against Croatia, of course, in the semi-final in Russia. They've got a clean bill of health. Sancho's played one game.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he came
imagine
on
imagine, like, pulling the shrink wrap off Sancho at this point in the tournament. It's ridiculous.
But that's what
really
it is, mate.
And Grealish, really,
but
as well.
Right. I mean, even Maguire, you know, he came back in, but he didn't play in the first two games. So Maguire's only played, what, three games?
Yeah.
And I know Henderson, he came back. Like, Henderson could, I mean, would he start? I'd probably not. I'd probably stick with Rice and Phillips. But
it's a really important
England
distinction.
England are in a good position here.
It's a great distinction to make, because if you can compare it to other campaigns, right? Mm. The campaigns that England had in 1996 and 2018, there was more than one occasion in each of those tournaments where England had life and death against their opponent. Mm. Colombia in 2018 scraped through. It was a war, that game. Mm. You know what I mean? They had it easy against
Sweden. It can go either way. Yeah.
Croatia, it was very, very tough. 96, they had life and death against Spain. Mm-hmm. Very close, went to penalties. 90, Cameroon, Belgium, West Germany, all of them really. It was
all the knockout games again in 90 went to extra time.
90 was a roller coaster, and you just just held onto it as long as you could. This isn't like that.
No,
and he's managing the load very well. And so the interesting thing is how they approach it. If they do that, we hope they don't. From an England point of view, we hope they don't get any difficulty, because we hope they just carry on as they are.
Yeah.
And perhaps you could argue at times against Germany, particularly in the first 15 minutes, at times against Scotland, that maybe they have had some adversity to get over, but they've not conceded.
Yeah.
Now, I think in retrospect, it's easy for me to say because you're kind of out of that now. What would have happened if at 1-0 Müller goes through scored? If England then came back from that and say 1-3-4-1, you'd go, well, bloody hell, you can't really criticise them at all. Yeah. But they haven't had to deal with that yet. And Denmark are capable. And Ukraine, probably because of the situation, because of the stage of the tournament, and perhaps because of the profile of team they were, weren't able to offer much, really.
Yeah, you look at the three sides who are left in the competition, other than England. And you're right, England, it has been pretty much plain sailing. Because if you say Müller scores that goal, I mean, you saw Sterling's reaction. How would he have played if that had gone in? Suddenly the crowd, you know, do they turn, whatever it may be?
Don't let any goals in then, lads.
Exactly.
That's my advice.
And that seems to be the case. But with the other three teams in there, Denmark have had their fair share of jeopardy. They needed to beat Russia. They lost to Denmark. So they know what it is to lose a game to
go behind.
They lost
to Finland, you mean?
They lost to Belgium and Finland. And then they beat Russia. And then against Czech Republic, 2-0 up, and they looked like they were cruising 2-1. It's a different game to kind of manage. You know,
there were periods of that game where Denmark didn't look comfortable at all.
Totally. And look at Italy and Spain in the other half of the draw. Spain were cruising against Croatia. Should have gone 4-1 up. Suddenly it's like, oh, bloody hell, we've got to have another half an hour against this lot.
I think you got a lot of name recognition with Spain. It's almost like an American presidential campaign. Where people go, they're going to do all right because everyone knows who they are.
Yeah.
With Spain, everyone knows who they are,
yeah,
but they can be got at, Spain. There's no doubt about that.
Well,
I'm not saying England will beat them if England even get to the final than they do, but they can be got at. Mm. I'd be far more worried about Italy.
Well, Italy have been the team of the tournament, let's be honest. And Italy are playing great football because, again, people could say up to that Belgium game, yeah, but who have they played? Mm. Well, they've played well against Belgium.
Yeah.
So they've done very well indeed. They've got a wonderful team spirit as well, which goes really far in these things. I think people can underestimate that. Because you look at France, you look at how quickly that unwinded.
They had a good team spirit, didn't they?
For a bit.
Just individual spirit.
Individual spirit, really.
For individual spirit. Going back to the Ukraine game, I was going to say, Pete, you know when... You know when you were in Zimbabwe, famously, and you saw a hippo get hit on the head with a tea
Kenya?
Tray?
Kenya?
I think it was Kenya, yeah.
Kenya, okay. Yeah. You saw a hippo get hit over the head with a tea tray by a waiter.
It wasn't over the head, it was into the nose.
Into the nose. Yeah. And you said, that's a sound I'm never going to hear again.
Bang,
we heard it again when Harry Maguire heard that goal against Ukraine. Did you not hear it? The sound it made was amazing.
It was glorious.
Our mate Murray James, friend of the Ramble, said it was like the sound was akin to someone hitting a water tank with a leg of lamb. Or a hippo in the face of a tea tray.
A tea tray, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're all very enjoyable, I think.
And I think that's vital as well because... England showed in Ukraine that actually they're starting to get the set pieces right.
Yeah.
That could be massive.
Repeatedly.
All we need is Jose Mourinho to criticise more of England's players.
Can he just follow us around wherever we go?
But for me, that match, and I'm sure we'll move on pretty soon, but like, that match was like kind of the Sweden match in the last tournament.
It was
kind of like, I expected Sweden to show more, but it was still an assured performance,
business,
I think.
Business time.
Business.
I was saying to Marks on the phone the other day,
I couldn't,
of all the games that England played in World Cup 2018, I find it hard to remember much about the Sweden one because it was so straightforward.
Yeah.
I know Pickford made a couple of saves.
But again, it was fairly comfortable, of course.
Yeah. They're the ones you don't tend to remember.
No, I've seen Timo Werner's backed England to win the Euros.
Oh, Jesus, the last thing we need.
Wasn't it the F1 and he was...
He misses everything.
Austrian Grand Prix.
They introduced him as the goalkeeper of Chelsea.
Chelsea and Germany's goalkeeper.
Did they?
Yeah.
F1 people don't like other sports. That's
why is that? Yeah. They were like, well, every time you seem to stop the ball going in the back of the net. I don't know.
I don't like F1.
Do you not?
Nah.
I don't particularly.
Thanks for that, Luke.
It's up there with tennis.
Hang on, Pete. Sorry, what else don't you like?
Yeah. Give me a minute, Pete. That's some things to get off my chest.
What else do you not like? Tennis,
yeah.
F1.
Yeah.
People who are in higher social classes.
No.
Let's do countries.
No, I like everyone. I just don't like F1 or tennis.
Do you like everyone, dear?
Yeah. Okay. I'll tell you what, if there was some kind of amalgamation...
Did you like it when the engines were louder?
Yeah, exactly.
The engines are quiet now. I don't like
it. You two don't. The difference between me and you two is that you two haven't got the balls to say what stuff you don't like.
I'll say I don't like F1. It's boring.
I'll be honest.
Honestly, Pete could be face to face with a serial killer and be like, it's really lovely to meet you.
Yeah.
Whereas I'll call it
true.
As it is.
Pete would turn up.
So I'm a better presenter.
That's why he looks like a serial killer.
He'd be like, he's a good lad at heart. It is odd, though. You don't hate F1, yet you love
like Carl's and Jeremy Clarkson.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. That's it's true. For me, they're very different things, though. Yeah. Jeremy's just a great wit.
Yeah. Just a way of life,
and
isn't
politically,
it?
Obviously, similar to me and stuff. So
there we are. But interesting that all four teams who are through to the semis played all their group games at home. Craig Burley was chipping off saying it's a disgrace.
It's a fucking disgrace.
That England have
He's
been...
a bit older than I remember.
Craig Doubtfire, that
was.
I'm going to get me a blanket.
Genuinely, he has to put his teeth in, doesn't he? So maybe he forgot that day.
Possibly. Yeah, but he was saying
that was. I mean, sorry to cut in, but that wasn't all for a long time ago. But, I mean, Craig Burley tearing up the midfield with no teeth.
Yeah,
he used to take him out. He's quite intimidating.
World Cup 98, I think he scored for Scotland in the second game over against
Norway. No teeth.
Doubtful.
Yeah.
Doubtfire. Okay. Yeah, that's why they call him it. England obviously having so many games at Wembley. Because England were due to play their second round match, it would, of course, against Germany, it turned out, in Dublin. And we were like, let's get a bit more support.
I think it's a stupid argument.
It is a stupid argument,
because if you look at... So when was the last time France hosted a national tournament?
98.
No.
2016.
16?
Yeah.
And 98. England haven't hosted one since 96, right? You could argue that if all things being equal, perhaps England would have hosted another one by now.
Yeah.
And the fact is they're doing this 60-year anniversary thing where lots of different nations get hosting rights. You'd argue maybe that other nations within 2020's Euro should perhaps have been given the nod. Is it reasonable that Baku get the nod?
Yeah.
Possibly not. Are there other reasons for that? Possibly. But there's nothing to say. Look, Wembley is a very iconic place for football generally. It's not just English people that think that. And the fact that it's been given the semi-finals and the finals, well, they've got to be played somewhere.
Well, they do.
And the fact that England have got to the semi-finals is because they've won loads of games.
Yeah, and also their second round match was due to play in Dublin, but Dublin understandably said no thanks.
And
they did play in Rome as well,
The problem is, I mean, I know I'm going to get it in the neck for saying this on a podcast, there's too much content, and therefore there's too many people having to say things,
right.
And then you get the Craig Burley situation.
Yeah, up yours, Craig.
Yeah, who's asked him?
I don't know.
Exactly.
Probably the network he works for.
Probably no one.
So there's that. Before we go to a break, everybody, did you see this, Sarah? You remember Nuno Gomes, beautiful boy, played up front for Portugal?
Yeah, when they couldn't get any strikers.
Yeah.
And so he would just play all the time. This is my memory. I've not looked it up.
He got a couple of important goals.
But Brassel always says that they used to just get... used to develop wingers all the time, but could never develop strikers. And he was very much the striker at that point.
Well, Ben Vigrig, he scored a hatful, didn't he?
I can't remember,
he was,
to be
better
honest.
Than 1-2 or something.
He got the only goal of the game against Spain in I think it must have been Euro 2004. So he put himself in the hearts and minds of his fellow country.
He had Grealish hair.
It's also a Brassel. Yeah. He had great hair. Mm. It's also a Brassel day off, so I can say, I mean, Portuguese league. tell you what he looked like in my mind. He looks a bit like Jan Sommer.
Yeah,
I was thinking Julian Casablancas.
Yeah, similar. Oh, more of him later, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a bit of that in the emails.
Oh, look
Stick
forward
around.
To that.
Stick around.
He's
not been in touch.
No,
absolutely.
Oh, okay. That is a come down. But yes, he revealed in an interview recently that after Euro 2004, he'd booked a hotel in Greece. Of course, Greece beat Portugal twice, famously in the final. The day after he arrived at the hotel, he meets Takis Fassas, the former defender, on the beach, and discovered that the hotel owner of this place that Gomez was staying had offered the Greek national team a free stay for a week, so he just couldn't get away from them.
That's unbelievable.
Touch tight.
Yeah, that would be enough. What would you? Would you just be like, I'm off?
There was.
I've had enough of this lot. They've done us twice. They're smashing my plates.
There was a story. I forget who it was, but I interviewed someone for Ramble Meets. You'll have to forgive me because I can't remember the exact player. Oh, it might have been Mickey Gray, who missed a penalty in the playoff final to go to the Premier League.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Dean Kiley saved it.
Yeah.
Dean Kiley.
And Sunderland's so insular as a town that, like, everyone kind of knew who he was, and he said, like, I need to get away. Mm. Went on holiday with his wife at the time for 2 weeks in somewhere like Greece or something. Literally the first person he saw when he got to the lobby to check in was Dean Kiley, who was also there, who saved a penalty.
Yeah,
it's absolutely unbelievable.
I think with footballers, you've got to
just go to the same place.
Exactly.
Yeah, you've got somewhere else, lad.
Go to the south of France. Yeah. None of them are going there. Let's be honest. If you go to Dubai, they're there.
You're going to see everyone you see is a footballer.
Algarve, they're there.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Certain parts of Greece,
golf
they're
anywhere.
There. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Go to Ulaanbaatar.
Exactly.
Go to, you know, Pete, where else? Somewhere where Pete
Hong
goes.
Kong.
There we go.
Yeah.
You go to
They want the sunshine. It's quite foggy in Hong Kong.
Go to an onsen in Japan. You'll
go
see
to a Japanese onsen. Go to Okinawa.
Cuba.
Cuba. There
we are. That's where you've got to go. That'll be the new place.
Portsmouth.
Another one. Just another place in the world.
Just an hour of 40 from London on by train.
That's all
Gulf
it is.
Gulf of Mexico, that big burning fire thing.
No. Portsmouth.
That big burning fire thing. Portsmouth.
I'll check the TripAdvisor reviews first. Yeah. Two places.
All right, time for a break, you buggers.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Oh dear, look at these keepers.
A very camp Glenn Hoddle there.
Oh dear, look at these keepers. Oh,
I'm free.
Do you really want to say?
Yeah, he sounded very camp Glenn Hoddle there.
From James.
No,
what?
Email jingle first.
Just because you don't do the jingle anymore, you think I'm just going to talk all over them, are you?
Why do you mean double jingles?
Oh. Rick Astley.
Key change. Top of the Pops.
You know who did that one?
Who?
Paul Staveley.
Oh, Amanda Staveley's musical brother. From James Tortoise, a.k.a. DJ Chubby Bottle.
Ah,
from the
Discord.
Chubby Bubble. It's Tuesday evening. The first semi-final is a fairly tepid affair. The biggest talking point is Unai Simon's injury in the first half, with Spain choosing to bring on the more experienced David De Gea ahead of Robert Sanchez. 0-0 full-time, 0-0 after extra time, penalties. If you are Enrique, what do you do? Knowing what we know about De Gea and penalties, do you keep him on and give him another chance, or do you bring on the Brighton keeper? Would Enrique have big brass balls like Van Gaal and make the big decision? What would you guys do? What would you guys do? What would you guys do?
I don't know.
It's a very high stakes, risky situation, isn't it, I suppose?
Yeah, I might ask Glenn Hoddle what he'd do. The goalkeepers. Bit David Bowie.
Look at those keepers.
It was very bad. The goalkeepers. That was maybe David Essex. I'm getting mixed up.
I do enjoy the mind games. I do enjoy the old bring a keeper on.
We love the mind games.
I mean, he's missed a trick not getting Kepa involved, hasn't he?
Has he?
He just stay on the pitch till the final. Stay there.
Such a knob.
What Kepa did was...
ages ago.
But it was also funny.
Yeah.
If we're on the football ramble, we can't laugh at that Kepa refusing to come off the pitch.
Yeah.
Jim Campbell was here, he'd be fuming at you.
Jim Campbell, yeah. He would be, just in general, I think.
Jim Campbell couldn't save a penalty.
Jim Campbell always looks terrible at football, but then he'll do something amazing.
Yeah, yeah, from nowhere.
From nowhere.
But he's actually all right. Remember when we won that five-a-side tournament? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about us.
The other teams were drinking mojitos, Marcus. Yeah.
And it was a five-a-side.
Not during the game.
It was
during our games. They were.
Jimmy Taylor's been in touch.
What about Jimmy? We haven't decided what we're going to do. I'd put Jim Campbell in goal.
Yeah, fine. There we go. Jimmy Taylor says, as a curly-haired indie kid who has been wearing the combination Arsenal shirt and knackered pair of Converse since 2001, I thought I'd chip in on a Football Strokes cover band made up of players who I think wouldn't look out of place on the front cover of NME. This is a follow-up to what we were talking about maybe a week or so ago. We talked about certain players looking like they could be in the Strokes. Mm. If you are under the age of, say, 30, look up who the Strokes are.
Look away now.
Yeah. Hit that 30-second skip button. Jimmy says, my Footballing Strokes tribute band is as follows. Manolo Gabbiadini on the drums as Fab Moretti. Yeah. I think that works really well.
Obviously an Italian vibe, as the Strokes have got, and that makes sense.
Because Gabbiadini had a little cameo at Southampton, didn't he? Didn't score that many goals for them.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Napoli, then Southampton, then back to Southampton. Yeah. Sampdoria. Next, I go for Wickham gaffer Gareth Ainsworth. Gareth's very lucky to be in there.
No, but isn't it Valenci?
No, because I think he's too old.
Oh, well, come on, it's not perfect. You know, this is... Wind back the clock a few years.
It's not perfect. Why is it in the fucking running order?
Oh, I don't.
we only do perfect emails. And then Pablo Aymar says, Jimmy, I agree with that. He can be Albert Hammond Jr.
Yep.
Well, Gareth Ainsworth is Nick Valenci, of course. Yannick Vestergaard on the bass is Nicolai, fair enough. And then Fabio Silva of Wolves on lead vocals is Julian Casablanca. So I think Fabio Silva works really well.
Mm.
Vestergaard and Ainsworth, for me, are a bit of a stretch, but I really appreciate Jimmy getting in touch and making my old content seem somehow relevant.
Yeah. Nice. Can I introduce the Northampton Town footballer Paul McGregor, who, when he finished football, he started a band called Ulterior.
Ulterior?
Toured with Sisters of Mercy.
Did they?
Supported
really?
The Horrors.
There you go. See?
That's not so bad. He looks a bit like the type as well. I just looked at a picture of him. Long hair and all sorts.
Can't we get Leighton Baines in there somewhere?
Leighton likes to take a guitar everywhere.
I think Baines is more 90s anthems.
Yeah, I think Leighton Baines can probably only do Oasis covers and a handful of Cast covers.
Shed 7?
Maybe a Shed 7 one thrown in there.
Okay, we'll settle on that.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your emails there. Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. Now then, the bald eagle has landed. Patrick Vieira appointed Crystal Palace's new manager on a 3-year deal. Yeah. How about that? What do we think of this? He did pretty well at New York City FC a few years ago now. And obviously it's MLS, very different league to here. And then he went to Nice and did all right the first two seasons, but ended up getting sacked. Mm. What do you think?
I've got a couple of thoughts. One is that listeners to this show who support Derby or Portsmouth or possibly Newcastle won't like to hear Patrick Vieira getting a new nickname, the Bald Eagle, because that's Jim Smith.
Yeah.
Legendary Jim Smith.
It is Jim Smith.
Eagle, as they used to sing at Fratton Park.
Eagle!
He's sadly departed. Died a couple of years ago. The late, great Jim Smith. And the second point is that I realised watching ITV coverage the other day that Patrick Vieira's got exactly the same head as Carl Pilkington.
Right, okay, well, very round.
Very, it is a very spherical, round head, yeah. It's a very round head.
Does that go for or against him, do you think?
I don't know. I think the jury's still out.
Okay.
So we'll have to wait and see. But that's the kind of analysis that I think we should be entertaining on this show.
Yeah, he's quite softly spoken, Pete, which one doesn't think, you know, type of player and all that kind of stuff. And I suppose you could say the same with Roy Keane, but we know Keane's got the bite in there. Mm. Would you see Vieira, like, barking at his players?
No, well, I think you said that in the first season at Nice, he did okay, and he did do okay, but I think his chairman who put him in there left, and he kind of ran out of friends there.
There's a lot of demand, isn't there, because they're a really wealthy club now, Nice. Yeah.
Second season, from what I read, like, literally a season ago, there were players that got brought in that were young, and he's here on a ticket of kind of bringing youth players on. All of the players that he brought into the team regressed, and he panics and he changes formation too much, and it's just exactly what you want as a Palace fan when your team needs a ridiculous amount of rebuilding.
They've got a lot of players going out of contract, haven't they? But the thing about Crystal Palace and that part of the world, that part of South London, is being very, very vaunted for the young players that have come through.
There's a lot of talent around there.
It's a hotbed.
I mean, South London, yeah. There's so many players come from there.
It's a hotbed, and Vieira apparently is very keen to work with young players, which kind of I found interesting because Palace, as a club, tried to kind of smooth and finesse that kind of story because I didn't want to say, well, we tried to get Lucien Favre and he said no.
Yeah.
And we tried to get Nuno and he wanted too much money. And now we've got Patrick Vieira.
Yeah.
But I mean, look, Vieira...
We've got him off the ITV sofa.
Yeah.
He's agreed to come here for a bit.
And Nuno wanted too much money. So I was flicking through the TV.
Yeah.
And I went from the BBC coverage to the ITV one for the next game. And I saw Patrick Vieira and I thought, what's he up to?
His next job's 2026 World Cup. So he's free until then. Let's get him in.
He's in the studio in Maidstone with ITV. He's just down the road.
It's very sort of similar to Nuno's job at Spurs, really. They've got a talismanic striker, talismanic player that may leave or may not leave. They either pull off the plaster or they put a much bigger moneyed plaster on the top of that situation. And they need goals. Benteke's had the best season of his career, it seems. It feels like, anyway, with 10 goals this season.
Recent
career.
Yeah, one can forget the goals he scored previously. Exactly. Yeah, I'll take your point.
So they need goals and they need them pretty quickly to go.
Well, yeah. A slightly more serious take from me would be that I wonder how much of the coverage of Vieira going to Palace has been tainted by what happened with Frank de Boer. And this idea that, if we try something different, aka foreign, and it's a younger guy, after the stability we had in between these two appointments in Roy Hodgson, it's going to automatically go wrong. Mm. It's not automatically going to go wrong.
Do you think that's been the coverage?
I think this always happens when you have a manager of such experience who's done so well, who retires or moves on for whatever reason. There's always going to be a little bit of trepidation over who comes in. And you have to say that whoever Palace got in after this, after Hodgson, because of the profile of club down, because of the options they had, it's going to be a gamble. We just listed the three candidates there. Mm. Well, Favre and Nuno were going to be gambles, for sure.
Yeah.
And so Vieira, I think, is also a gamble. But it doesn't mean because of that he's going to be what happened to Frank de Boer's going to happen again.
He is very green, though, isn't he? He's not that far.
Well, I was going to say,
Arnold, Kael, but it's a big rebuilding job, and I don't think he will ever have this opportunity again to completely rebuild a squad in his own image.
But on the other hand, what are the demands at Palace? I think, and I don't mean this to be disrespectful to us at all, it's my local
maintaining
club.
The Premier League.
Stay in the Premier League.
Yeah, more of the same. And for at least in the short term.
But three clubs are coming up from the Championship. Mm-hmm. Palace, you'd think are going to be better than them.
Yeah.
I think Norwich and Watford have got a little bit of history in there. Brentford have been knocking on the door for a long time. But I don't think Leeds United have come up this season. I don't think you've got a team who are going to punch their way into the top 10. Mm. So I think you've got three clubs you want to finish above. I know this is disrespectful to Palace, actually, in a way to say this, because they've been in the Premier League for such a long time. But the reason they've done that is they've done it in a very coherent, very consistent way under a coach who knows exactly what he's doing. Mm. And Vieira hasn't managed in the Premier League before. Mm. So they want to set their sights high, but they want to know that actually the fullback is just to finish 17.
Yeah. I don't think it is disrespectful because there's certainly a certain amount of positions in the league that you can
inhabit.
That could be a successful season.
In his own words, Nice at halftime, he said, we had a catastrophic first half in every capacity. If I could, I would substitute you all apart from three of you. I don't give a shit about the score.
Yeah, wow. So you're not going to go...
More of that, please.
Well, but did he say it in that beautiful soft voice?
That would be more sinister, wouldn't it?
I think maybe. Yeah. I mean, do you know what? I actually witnessed one of the finest sights I've ever seen. Was when I went to watch New York City FC and had a press pass while I was kind of walking around.
Oh, the reflection of the laminate off the lights.
Absolutely, yeah. And I caught myself. And, no, I saw walking around in the bowels of the stadium, I saw Andrea Pirlo, full New York City FC tracksuit, talking to Patrick Vieira, who was fully suited up. And Pirlo was just kind of strolling around the pitch because Vieira was trying to implement a more kind of pressing, attacking style.
Yeah, right. Good luck with that.
Pirlo in close to retirement is new wanting that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they were chatting and clearly the game hadn't gone very well and Pirlo, I think, was struggling. And they were talking to each other and Pirlo's like looking all the way up to Vieira and Vieira's looking down at him. And it was a beautiful moment of as if he was comforting, going, no, you're still the best, Andre. Don't worry about it. It was a wonderful image.
But so you sidled up.
Yeah,
lads.
I was like,
he said, do you need a 8-goal season striker at Saturday level?
Yeah, and he went 8, and I went, all right, 4.
Well, he's America.
But of course he got sacked by Nice.
Do you reckon Andrea had to do even going to the team talk at New York City FC under Patrick?
Yeah, just give the ball to him.
Yeah, that's what he said about Best, didn't he?
That's right.
How come George Best never has to be in the team talk? Because I just say give the ball to George.
22-year-old Best. It was a different prospect. <though. laughs>
What? To Andrea Pirlo playing at New York City?
Well, apparently Big Veng said to old Patty V after Nice dismissed him, he said, you're never a real coach until you get fired.
Well, fair enough.
So now he's a real coach and Palace have got him.
It's all part of the experience. It's a top league in Europe. They finished in, as Pete's already said, they finished in decent nick. You know, seventh and fifth in league and is not terrible.
Yeah.
Nice aren't a team who have won title after title after title. So he's got a bit of experience under his belt and he knows what English football's all about and he loves English football.
Absolutely.
So it's not, I don't think it's the worst appointment ever.
Do you know what, Luke? We've talked about MLS there.
Yeah.
Talked about great players.
Yeah.
Talked about people who love the Premier League.
I know.
Talked about people with lovely soft voices.
Yeah.
All roads lead to Inter Miami.
Yeah.
Let's have a little update. See how Fizzer's getting
on. Is
it
going well, Marcus?
They're 13th out of 14.
Okay. So it could be worse.
Well, because the previous update, they were 12th.
Right.
So it suggests to me that it's not going.
Right.
I thought 12th, okay. Consolidate that tricky sort of, you know, get in the top 10 finish.
Yeah.
But it's going the other way. So poor old Fizzer. They lost 1-0 to Montreal on Sunday, their fifth defeat on the bounce. Are David Beckham and the boys going to make a tough decision?
Signing Willian for twice the amount of money that Higuain's on.
Yeah, apparently during that poor run, Ryan Shawcross, he was suspended for hauling down a DC United player by
the
neck.
He'll do that.
Gonzalo Higuain was sidelined by Fizzer after admitting that he came to MLS thinking he could play with a cigarette in his mouth.
I've seen a few clips of Higuain playing. It does look like a lot of the team don't necessarily have the confidence in him to be able to run. So all the passes are a little short, a little slow, a little bit labored. It's like he's obviously an excellent footballer, but it's just a bit nobody wants to put the ball in front of him because he can't run.
I had a reunion
to
game.
To fate.
Yeah, well, it's the thing. I had a reunion game about 5 years ago of a team I played when I was about 18. I had this player called Matt Bowman.
On the islands? On the Reunion Islands?
Robert?
Robert, yep.
He was involved.
And he was a really good player when we were younger. Mm. He was like a proper number 10, but he could burst through with pace and stuff. He had a great fucking burst of speed about him. And I played a free ball to him and he screamed at me, to my fucking feet now. Because he's put on a few stones. Yeah. He's obviously we're in our mid-30s.
That's what
it'd be like playing with Higuain.
I'm pretty sure that's what, would it have been Ollie Norwood at Reading? Would it have been Ollie Norwood? Forgive me if that's
wrong. He played at Reading for sure.
Yeah, when Yakubu turned up.
Oh, right.
Latter stages of career. In fact, Yakubu still played, but he said when he turned up, Yakubu just said, to feet.
Yeah.
It was just
Kanu was the same.
But he was just laughing about it. He was like, come on, lads, to feet.
I think I was at Fram Park for Yakubu's debut for Portsmouth, and he was the fastest player in real life I'd ever seen.
Mm.
And it didn't even look like he was trying to run fast. He just it was a glider. You know, those gliders glides across the pitch. Mm-hmm. It was so exciting.
Yeah.
He wasn't doing that at Reading.
No,
absolutely.
but that happens to every single person on the planet.
I thought you were going to link into Miami there when you started.
Oh, Dad, now you're talking.
But that's the problem. See, you hire your mates. You know, Portsmouth had a problem with that where they used to hire ex players.
Yeah.
Very difficult to fire him because people are emotionally invested in him.
Well, he probably likes having Fizz around. You know, get the helicopter back up to Beckham's pad in Miami. Have you seen it, by the way? I mean, it is as you'd expect.
I haven't seen it.
The helicopter or the pad?
All of it.
Or the pad on the pad.
They've got pads for everybody. you've got. I think it's top floor, so you can get the old helipad up there.
Ah, oh, it's nice.
And Beckham.
That is nice.
Just grabbing all of Beckham's lapels and go, please don't fire me. Yeah. Can I stay here?
Yeah.
I'm your best mate. I'm your best mate's brother.
Can you fly me back to Manchester in the chopper?
That's only going to end one way.
Yeah. Has Gary got a helipad on one of his buildings in Manhattan?
Manhattan.
That's not an original.
That's nice. That's nice.
Very nice. Anyway,
have we got time to talk about Newcastle before we go?
I think we do. We mentioned Stavely earlier, Amanda Stavely. She's chipping off again, isn't she, Pete? She's unhappy.
Newcastle as a PLC are upset that the Premier League are being quite opaque about their findings. It's like Newcastle United every year, to be honest. But
well,
sick of seeing her.
Peter, strap yourself in.
Oh,
Hatim Ben Arfa is once again a free agent. Amazing, he can't keep a job.
It's weird, isn't it? Yeah,
how's this made it in? You two.
No, don't with me.
You've got a Newcastle shirt on. You're that broke and I think you should leave. We need to find out who did this. You've got a fucking Newcastle United shirt on.
The hot dog doesn't. Shirt. It's nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with me.
Indirectly, it's everything to do with you.
Right.
Hatim Ben Arfa, he's free again this summer. His former interpreter at Newcastle has backed him for a return. I mean, come on.
Last work with him in 2013. He'll have the inside track on this. I've actually drank with that guy.
Have you?
In Newcastle.
And?
He is a Sunderland supporter, hilariously.
Oh, hey.
So don't trust him.
Wicked whisper from Pete
nice
Donaldson. Andrew Simpson reckons that Ben Arfa's ongoing love for the club and his desire to prove Alan Pardew wrong could pave the way for a return.
That drives me, to be honest.
Is this quote from the meeting you had with him?
After 14 years, Peake's actually got a contact in football.
Yeah.
After 14 years. Not taking long.
And you've just blown your cover straight away. I know him!
He's a bad. Yeah, after 14 years right and 14 pints, Peake was on the booze with this chap.
Tell us more about Andrew Simpson then.
I was only drinking with him in a group, so I didn't know him that well. But it was around about the time that he was interpreting for every.
You drinking in groups, do you?
One of those group binges, eh?
Peake likes going and drinks with one other person or on his own.
Yeah,
true. Yeah, I like it.
He must be
intensity.
To stick in your mind, he must be a very special young man.
The quote from Andrew Simpson, which may or may not have been from that evening, was, "One thing I learnt with Hatem is never rule out the weirdest thing that could possibly happen. I would not be surprised if he did come back."
That's what he said when I left the night. When I did a French exit. Just fuck off.
Why is it every story that happens around Newcastle is just like...
It's just always hint. There's always a hint of nostalgia in there.
Yep.
It's always just absolute bollocks.
Yep.
And see, it never happens.
Yeah. I love it. I absolutely love it.
He's only 34.
They're back in pre-season today.
But apparently. He's only 34, but he's looked after himself. So.
Yeah.
He's a man who's consistently came back.
Yeah, do you know who he reminds me of as a pro?
Anyone?
James Milner.
I'll see what you mean. Absolutely. Yeah. It's that dedication that gets you to the top.
Yeah.
There we are. Could he get a late move to Liverpool and win the Champions League?
Yeah, could. Well, there
Who knows?
Who knows?
Right, before we go, everybody, we're doing our final TV giveaway of the Euros this week. Thanks to our friends at Toshiba, we've been giving away a 65-inch TV every Friday throughout the Euros over on our Patreon. You need to be a UK resident and signed up to our Patreon to enter. So head over to patreon.com/footballramble to get involved. We've had 3 lucky winners so far, and this is your last chance. Remember that signing up for a higher tier on our Patreon increases your chance of winning. So come on and get yourself a 65-incher from Toshiba.
Yeah, get involved. I mean, it's a great offer anyway, the Patreon. The guys do such a great job on it. There's a lot of value there, and it's not that expensive. And chance to win a TV as well is a very, very tempting thing.
Mm. My goodness. On tomorrow's show, Jules, Andy and Jim will be in your ears, everybody.
Jules confused Star Wars with Lord of the Rings on the TV this week. So.
Very enjoyable. Giving it the respect it truly deserves. Yeah. I'm definitely on Team Jules on that one.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, I think we should hear more from her on it tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'd love to, just sit Jules down and make her explain the story.
The great thing about Jules is that as soon as she does that, makes that error, she's straight on the WhatsApp going, "You never guess what I did." She's not embarrassed by it. She absolutely loves it.
Damn straight.
Yeah, there we go.
There we are.
She's not my favourite, though.
No.
Pointing at you.
Peake Donaldson.
Yoda. Yeah. Max is the Yoda of
Yoda's
the Ramble.
Everyone's favourite.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for listening, everybody. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much. And I should say that Andy Brassley is the Yoda of the Ramble, oldest and wisest.
Mm. And can float.
And speaks in funny
languages.
Yeah, speaks in funny languages. Yeah. There you go.
And can float.
Yeah.
He can float, can't he? Or did he make the ship float? I can't remember.
There's a lot of floating around,
I think. That's a noise he makes, isn't it? Floats around. Waving his big sabre around.
The crossover between Football Ramble listeners and Star Wars fans is probably quite high, so you're doing yourself a disservice.
I'm Boba Fett.
Yeah?
I've decided.
Get him out of here, Pet Marcus.
Thank you very much, Peake Donaldson.
Ta-ta.
Thank you, Hatem Ben Arthur. See you tomorrow, everybody.
Tatooine.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
and receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.